Hello, this is John Salonino with SSTI. I'm speaking today with Wayne Sumple, Program Manager, and Bob Tarani, Director of the Manufacturing and Supply Chain Initiative of the Connecticut Center for Advanced Technology. This initiative was the 2008 winner of SSTI's Excellence in TBET Award in the category Improving Competitiveness of Existing Industries. Thanks for joining us today. Can you provide a brief history and describe the focus of the Connecticut Center for Manufacturing Supply Chain Integration Program?
Sure, John. We are really part of the Connecticut Center for Advanced Technology, or we call it CCAT here. And it stemmed from an interest from the state of Connecticut that really wanted to help the small manufacturers that are involved in the aerospace and defense industry by providing them some grant money to do some process improvement efforts. So the main goal for the program when it first started was to administer this grant program that basically refunded some of the expenses provided or created by the small manufacturers to do some of these process improvement programs. In addition to that, we also were targeted to do some other creative development programs to help small manufacturers in their development of supply chains. So working with their customers and working with their first and second and third tier suppliers.
Yeah. I think the belief was that aerospace and defense is a strong component of the manufacturing base here in Connecticut, and then also a strong multiplier to overall economic development, manufacturing in general, that is. So starting with the aerospace and defense sector was prime. We have some big primes here like Sikorsky, Pratt & Whitney, Hamilton Sumstrand, that then work through their supply chains to over 1,000 smaller manufacturers. So it was a rich base for opportunities for this program.
Thanks. And so what would you consider then the main thrust of your program to be? And how then do you advance each of these thrusts?
Well, like I said with the first question, one of the primary goals was to administer this grant program. So we had basically a 50-50 match program where if one of the small manufacturers went out and did a lean manufacturing, Six Sigma, any kind of process improvement project, that we would take a look at that project, make sure that it met the criteria that we had developed, make sure that it really was a program designed and developed along the lines of lean manufacturing. And when they were completed and done with the program or with the project, we would go out and ensure and ask for some results back in terms of what kind of improvement metrics that they were able to meet. And that's how we and we call it the Aerospace and Defense Initiative, the ADI program. That really was the primary program of the initiative.
I think from the beginning we realized that two things: project-based improvement was important, not just training, and second, that it needed to be measurable. Metrics had to be produced and tracked so we could understand that the program was working. The other thing I might add is that from a state economic development point of view, productivity improvement has to be balanced with some other activities, because it alone could lead to job loss versus with the real intent of job security and job gain. So we augmented the program with two other components. One is market expansion, top-line growth opportunities for the companies. Things like Wayne brings a group to the International Air Show in either Paris or Farnborough each year to give them new market opportunities for their products and services. And the other is relative to sustaining these improvements. It is a continuous improvement need. So we look a lot at the workforce development in parallel with the productivity improvement.
So one of the reasons why we're doing these podcasts is that there are other states and regions that, in recognizing your excellence and being an award winner, may say, we really want to produce a similar program in our state. So preface this question this way. Is there a critical component of your program, if excluded when attempted to be replicated in another location, would really limit its effectiveness?
Well, I'll jump in on that one.
Sure.
I think one of the things is availability of funds to create this incentive. I mean, we had the $2 million that Wayne mentioned as the incentive to pay half the cost of the projects. And that could be a something that prevents people from engaging in this if they don't have the monies to make available. Things are tight right now in the economy, and then a lot of states are strapped for their revenue stream. So it could be a barrier. But the thing we found is that even though it sounded like a real incentive, and the real numbers, though, were that the company spent a lot more money than we reimbursed them for. Either they maxed out the 50 or 75K limits and continued to do projects on their own because they saw the benefit, or if you looked at what we funded, which was just their outside cost, the consultant cost, but if you really tracked their total cost, which included their in labor, their internal labor to run these projects, that would be four or five times higher than the consultant cost. So the point we make to people is don't let that incentive scare you. If you can't raise the money to stimulate it that way, you can still show companies the return on investment, the kind of gains that I mentioned in those metrics, and make the business case that says this is a good thing to do regardless of whether we have money to reimburse your cost, because at the end of the day, it is going to be a positive return, a good payback period for you. And companies certainly saw that before they started getting into it and put their people on these projects.
I think another critical component was the fact that CMSCI and CCAT were recognized as being really a neutral party, unbiased, in terms of we weren't providing that consulting service in addition to having the money. We really were able to go into a company and say, listen, we've got a pot of money. You need to implement some process improvement. Now, some of them already knew that they needed to. Sometimes it took a little bit of us to convince them to show us, we needed to show them the numbers to get them started. Some people were way along on their lean journey. Some were just starting. But the point is, we were able to say, we have money. As long as you meet our criteria, submit a good proposal, you're really going to do something that's going to affect your processes, we will reimburse you 50% of whatever that cost is, and we don't care who you go use as long as they're legitimate service providers. We did a cursory check of service providers to make sure they really knew what they were talking about in terms of providing lean services and that they had some experience somewhere along the line. So I think that whole unbiased, neutral condition makes a big difference when you go in there trying to tell somebody and trying to help somebody to do their process improvement programs.
Yeah, you're not perceived as trying to sell them something.
Right.
Right. Okay. And then my last question is just do you have any additional lessons learned from administering this program that you'd like to share?
Well, we kept it, first thing is I think we kept it flexible. I mean, we tried to respond to the needs of the manufacturers. So we conducted some in-process surveys and always were open to discussion with the small manufacturer to see what met their needs. So a couple of things we did was we adapted the program to include the internal experts, for instance. We saw that demand pop up as we worked it. The other thing was initially we weren't getting a lot of projects that had that integration of the supply chain, that stretched beyond the internal factory, the four walls, and included either customer or sub-tier supplier. So we added that extra $25,000 incentive. So those are the main advice there, that I think keep it flexible and adapt as needed. Don't just be lock it in. The last thing I would offer, and Wayne may have others, but is you can't over-communicate. It just took what I thought was forever to get the word out. Even though we launched the program in a letter from our governor to all the manufacturers in our database, and it had, you know, it was on her letterhead and, you know, signed by her, and, you know, you'd think people would respond, but so many people just missed it or didn't hear about it. And, you know, the more communication you can do to launch it and get some buzz going about how good the program is, it's very important to the success.
Wayne and Bob, thanks so much for talking to us today. If our listeners want any additional information about CCAT, they can find it at www.ccat.us. For more information about SSTI's Excellence in TBET Awards, visit www.sstiawards.org.